Thank you, Daisy. Thank you for pressing that button. Thank you, Daisy. Judith, are you even there?
You're sucking up. Are you sucking up to Daisy?
Yeah, I was there. I was there thanking Daisy, thanking her for all her hard work. Here we are, Judith.
I'm just trying to be quiet. I'm trying to be quiet during the music. I thought that's what we're supposed to be doing.
No, we decided against that. There's a new rule. There's a new rule that we talk all over the music. That's what we're
going to
do.
Oh, we always do.
Have you got your lips?
I've got my lips. Oh, do you know when there was a last minute panic? I thought, fuck, I can't do this without. I can't do anything without my lips. No, it's right here.
Yeah, I want to have a word with you. I want to have a word with you about your lips addiction. It's a small challenge I'd quite like to meanly throw down at the beginning of the show right now. I'm just going to throw it in that if I can give up alcohol during the week, Judith, I think that maybe you should give up lips till then.
Never.
What happens? What is the physical need for the lips? What happens? What's Do your lips begin to sort of crawl?
Well, that's very interesting, isn't it? And I'm putting some on now, just as you're talking about it, because I might just top up. I don't know what it's an addiction. It's a total addiction. And I can't do anything difficult or important without it. I mean, I can watch telly without it, but anything difficult, I have to have my lips ill or my back. I just can't do it. I don't know why. I don't know.
I wonder whether it's a physical thing or if it's a mental tick.
Well, I think like most addictions, it's probably both, isn't it?
A bit of both.
But I mean, I do find it, well, distressing is the only way I can put it. Distressing if I do not have
lips. I quite like the idea of you not having a lip seal on your person and being distressed. I'd like to watch you. I'd like to sort of put you in a clinical trial and have you in a sort of glass box and I'd be on the other side
of
the
screen. Fuck off, Jenny. All I can say is just fuck off.
That's funny.
You carry on with
funny.
Your bees.
That's your funny addiction. Honestly, some of us have, you know, really, you know, like crack cocaine and stuff. You've got lip seal. That makes me laugh quite a lot.
Oh, but I'm not alone. I think there are others. In fact, I remember bonding over Andrew O'Connor, who, I don't know whether you know him anyway.
He's a TV media producer.
Yes, he is. And I think we both went into a meeting and we both got our lips all out and had a kind of fix before the meeting. And it's always been a long-standing sort of joke between the two. She's got your lips all. Where's your lips all? You know.
Is it the same kind of lips all? Do you have a pet brand?
Well, you see, I don't like the Vaseline because you've got to open the tin. But, you know, if I'm desperate. God knows what I'd do if I was in prison, you know. Bloody hell,
I think you're allowed it in prison.
Do you reckon?
I think so, but I'm not sure actually.
You'd have to post me some in. You'd have to stick some up your bum and come and visit me. I'm sorry,
nice
it'd be that bad.
I'll tell you what, when I was getting that picture in my head about me carrying Lipsil up my bum into the prison to see you. I just saw myself. I got a very vivid image of me inserting Lipsil up my bum. and then I sort of tried to recreate the image.
Because I
put the Lipsil up my bum without wrapping it in anything. I just popped it up my bum. And then I thought, genuinely had this thought process very quickly. I thought, Judith will want to use that. So if I'm going to put Lipsil up my bum for her, the least I should do really before I do that is to wrap it in some cling film.
It's a cling film.
Like a proper drug drop. So that's... What's
very, very thoughtful of you. I'm impressed. While you're at it, you might as well bring me a few. I mean, you know what I mean?
I'll do a dozen up my arse.
That might be a bit ambitious, but I think you can manage two or three.
I don't know the size of my arse, Judith. I reckon I could whack 10 lipsils up there wrapped in clingfilm. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the show. If you've ever shoved a lipstick up your bum to visit a mate in prison, do let us know.
It must be a fairly small group of people, but, you know, do get in touch.
It's what I call niche, Judith. It's
That's
niche.
Very niche, isn't it? Very niche.
How are you?
How are you?
Well, I'm fair to middling. I keep getting these sort of collapses into a sort of terrible... I'd almost use the word depressed, but I think it's really dangerous using the word depressed because I think there are some very depressed people out there and I think they get pissed off when people like me say I'm a bit depressed. But I'm just a bit flat now and again. And I genuinely do not think the weather is helping. But, you know, I am double jabbed now. I was jabbed last week. We talked about that. And I have been out more. I have seen some art, Judith. I have seen art and been to a restaurant.
You went to the Hockney. You went to the Hockney and you went to a restaurant.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought I was going to do, Judith.
Oh.
You know, I can always snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. No, I had it in my head that I was going to go and see the Hockney, you know, which would have been very cheering, I think, because it's the big iPad drawings. Very bright and very flowery and the sort of things
colourful.
That makes us, makes you reach for your lip sill. But, you know, but it wasn't. It was the Emin and Munch. We say Munk now, I think.
Not Munch. I thought you said Munch.
Well, you say Munch because you're thinking of eating. But it's not. It's I think, officially Munk now. But, you know, say what you like.
Anyway, the scream. The bloke that did that awful scream.
Yes, the scream. I'm not a huge fan of Munk, to be quite honest. I went to... there's a gallery of his stuff in Oslo, and I went there once, and it was quite depressing.
Well, but of course it was. Could have told you that. Yeah, go on. Yeah, I know.
But I have to say that this juxtaposition, and it's curated by Tracy Emin, and it is really, really good, but it's quite a small show. So, you know, you go to a gallery and you think, well, I'll give this an hour plus a coffee. That'll be an hour and a half.
Indeed.
You know, 20 minutes later, you kind of go around to the second time. Some absolute arsehole has phoned me on my landline. Shall we see who it is? Let's have a... Hold on.
Brace yourselves. Hold on. Brace yourselves.
Hello? No, it's like, fuck off. It's one of those recorded ones, don't they? Drive you insane.
Oh, can't even be bothered to do a real person.
I mean, you know, if you're going to fraud us, at least make the effort. Yes. Put a funny voice on and con me properly, you know. And I'm not even getting the satisfaction from telling a real human being to fuck off.
Exactly. Mind you,
I'm telling a recording.
You still did it. You still did it.
I did it with gusto, didn't I? I mean, you can rely on me. I mean, I tell you what, if people find it difficult to say fuck off to anyone that's trying to con them, call me up. I'll record you a few fuck offs that you can play in. Whenever they
are,
you need.
Yes, I think that's... Well, I think that's a generous offer. And I think they are, because they are fulsome. I mean, they're fulsome, aren't they?
My fuck-offs. Yeah, they are. Flies out my mouth as well. It's not COVID-friendly, to be quite honest. But anyway, so I'm there at the Royal Academy.
Yeah, go on.
And I very much enjoyed the Tracy Emin show. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Tracy has been quite... gynecological for a very long time, but
she
I think with her recent cancer diagnosis and the huge amount of operations she's had and the surgery and the removal of so much of her sex organs and her bladder and the fact now that she has to have a urine bag and this sort of her life now is very, very difficult. I think the paintings have pack a lot of punch. They really do. They're very bloody. And at this stage in her life, with the experiences she's had, you know, you do look at them and you go, yeah, I totally get where this is coming from. It's it's giving me a bit of an ache between my legs. And it's what's surprising is quite how similar her work is to Munch's work, which is what I didn't realise. And I did enjoy that. And it's a very valid, worthwhile exhibition. But I wanted to see the Hockney as well. So we tried to get in there.
Oh, no. Oh, even worse. Hold on. Are you saying... Because I thought when you said you went to the wrong one, or that it was that you kind of got it mixed up.
We just turned the corner wrong.
Yeah,
you've gone through the wrong door.
Well, I don't know what I thought, really. But
no,
but so are you saying
you have
that,
to book, even though we're friends of the Royal Academy, they're not that keen on us, you know. You're friends up to a point, but you can only get in so far. our Hockney is very popular, of course. Anyway, and then we went to the restaurant.
Yeah,
it's a nice brasserie on German Street.
Yes.
And, but, you know, I'd booked a table, and this is just... Suddenly you just think, I'm an absolute nobody. And we went in there and, I mean, you know, I knew I'd booked. I'd had an email confirmation and all this kind of thing. But they seemed ever so slightly surprised to see us. And then, you know, the maitre d' was looking around as if to say, well, you know, we haven't got a table for you. So there were sort of two places hastily set at the bar. You know, when you're sort of...
Really?
Yes. And they said, would you be happy at the bar? And I sort of said, well, sort of, all right, but not really there. I wanted Judas was a booth. I wanted a booth.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
You know, I do understand that booths are for four, so the likelihood of us getting a booth was very remote. And in actual fact, you know, because I'm only, I'm not quite fully inoculated in terms of the sort of 2 weeks you should wait after your second jab. So yeah. In some respects, sitting at the end of the bar was quite good because there was absolutely nobody sort of too near or anything. But it did, I did slide off my stool a couple of times.
I was going to say, that is, you know, don't you, that there's going to involve a very large bar stool and a very ungainly sort of,
I started sliding off it the second time, I thought, I could just let myself completely fall to the floor just to cause a little, just so that they know. Because it's really hard. I mean, how do you balance on a bar? So you're like clenching it with your buttocks and you've got to wind your legs round the little ring foot thing, haven't you? Sort of so you can keep on.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think you need a railing, really. You know, there's a little railing to hold
Jeff
on to.
Jeff said I needed a seatbelt. I needed a seatbelt. Yeah, yes, because it was a stool with a slight back to it. It needed a little strap around.
It gets worse.
No, it's quite comfortable and the staff were very nice. But then that menu masochism set in, Judith. Why does that happen to me?
Go on, what did you order?
Why do I always do it, though? I mean, why?
What do you mean by menu masochism?
Well, I mean, I'm sure I've talked to you about my menu masochism in the past before. This ability I have to go anywhere and look at a menu. I'm nearly crying as I'm talking about this because I'm really, I want to punch myself in the face for doing it over and over again. And it's kind of like, it's my whole life. This is what I do with everything. Where I look at something, I think, oh, I'd really enjoy that. That would be nice. Oh, look at that. That sounds lovely. And then I go, oh, no, you should have crab salad because that's low in calorie. And, oh, look, they do it in a large size. So you don't really need a starter, do you? Just have the big crab salad. That's what you should have. Yeah. I'll have the large crab salad, please. And then there's a voice in my head going, you don't really want that, do you? But it's too late now. No. And Jeff, of course, has got the risotto and he gets this massive plate of creamy
mushroom
risotto. It's all spilling off
and
the
side. And you want it. You want it?
Well, I've got a. It's beautiful on the plate. What I've got, Judith. But you know, it's
not enough
basic.
Of it. I could have told you that.
I nearly asked for a couple of slices of bread. I could make myself a sandwich.
Did you steal some of his? Did you have some of his?
Oh, a little.
That's annoying.
There was some bread and that. Yeah, and then he had.
But did you have some of Jeff's? Because that's annoying in an eating companion.
I didn't have any of his. No, I didn't.
Oh, you see, I'd have stolen some of his.
No, I don't think you can mix crab salad and a mushroom risotto. I don't think the two flavours go together. No, I've got a very fine palate, Judith. I've got slightly more refined than
I'm not going to disagree with you there.
You'd have been going around going to people at the tables. My crab salad isn't very big. Do you mind if I had some of your chips? I'm just going to take this. You know those breadsticks you're not eating? I'm having them. Do you mind?
I think I'm better at ordering than you are because I'm much more openly greedy. You know what I mean? So... yeah, I think next time we go and eat out together.
Yeah, will you order for me?
I will order for you, precisely. I will order for you.
So anyway, I banged on enough there. So I want to know about you and where you are with your mood score. So I'm fair to middling. I'm a 6'7".
You're fair to middling. Okay, to middling. Well, I'm doing all right. I think I'm, where am I? I'm sort of about... six-ish. I'm 6 to 7, which is
good.
Not bad.
I'm glad you're not. I'm really glad you're not sort of loads higher than me. I always feel like, I feel a bit worse when I dial into the podcast, and I'm really probably about a 5.5, and you come bounding in with a 9.
It must be irritating.
So I'm glad that we're both evening out about a 6-7 here. Okay,
Mike's looking good. I mean, honestly, you'd never know. He'd had major surgery. He looks quite, you know, he looks sort of rosy cheeked and well, and his walk's improving because he's had trouble with his walk. So that's all good. And
oh, I'm so pleased. I bet you wouldn't know it had happened because, oh, Judith! Judith, take that right back.
It does need mowing. No, I think you will. And it's a sit-on. I'm bossy, aren't I?
The man had life-saving surgery not 3 months ago. The reason why you wouldn't know it had happened because you probably don't even let him mention it.
Perhaps the sort of forgotten. And the other day I asked him to lift a load of stuff. I thought, well, yeah, I've forgotten all about that. So that's good. What else has happened? Oh, yeah, we've been up and down to Cornwall, as you know, which has been very busy. On the up and down the M5, though. Bloody hell, the M5. Did I talk about the M5 last week? Did I talk about service stations?
No, I mean, you have to be careful here, because I've got Snorlaw at the ready, but...
Okay, fair enough.
I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, Judith, and okay. I'm going to go on then. Give me your best M5 anecdotes. I want to be rolling around laughing.
I just want to say, you people who are going up and down the M5, okay, the service stations are so busy because everyone has decided to go down south. You're queuing to get in, all right? It's hideous. Take some Tupperware, take some tissues, find some bushes because they're queuing to get in. And I would also just like to add, please, never go to the Bridgewater service station. There's one. Do you know what?
Go on, Judith.
Oh,
let's
no, I've got to tell you about it. I've got to tell
Come
you
on.
About it.
It's How
so
bad is it?
Bad. It's so bad. There's not a proper car park, okay? It's a multi-story, okay?
Just picture this.
Yeah, there's a you queue to get in the multi-story. You can't even just get out.
Because you can't change your mind either. It's got a ramp going up.
Oh, it's got ramps. There are horrible stairwells. You know, you have to faff on with all of that to get to the fucking place. It says it's got a Costa. It's not. It's a WH Smith machine. It says it's got a Greggs. Well, I haven't found it. It is awful. It's awful. It's awful. And the worst thing is, Jenny, I know, because I've done it twice, right, by mistake. Yeah. Every time I get down the M5 and I think, now, is it the Bridgewater one that's shit? Yeah. Or is it the Sedgemoor, the one after? And I've got it wrong. I got it wrong again. Oh, what is
Judith,
wrong
it's not
with
like
me?
You're going to have to leave a post-it note on your dashboards.
I am. I've got it though now. It is the Just don't.
Do you know what?
Even if you're bursting.
I can see this service station in my head because I know I've been there.
Have you?
Yes.
Have you?
Well, yes, it's a hellhole.
It's a hellhole. You don't realise as well until you've come off the roundabout. You go, I've done this two or three times. I go around the roundabout and think, oh, thank God, I haven't gone to that awful one. And then you just pull out and you turn the code. Fuck, I've done it again.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
done
awful.
It again.
How's the tryout now? I know they start tomorrow, don't they? It doesn't start tomorrow.
Yes, that's why we're doing this podcast early in the week because I start the tryouts in London tomorrow.
Right.
It's a gig called The Playground, which I've never been before, Judith. And to be quite honest, my car is still quite new to me and I haven't worked out how to use the lights. So I'll apologise about that in advance. If you're anywhere around the Shepherd's Bush area at 10 o'clock tomorrow night, you see a little mini clubman with no lights
on.
You're driving yourself.
Sorry, it's me. You're driving yourself.
I'm driving myself, Judith.
Nice.
It's not like me. It's got to be done, Judith. I mean, I bought that car so I could do... I mean, I had an excuse before with the other car because it never could get really beyond the elephant's castle.
You did. You're right. You did.
I've got a functioning car now. I've just got to learn how to use it properly.
God.
I know. So that's nerve-wracking. That's tomorrow. I'm just learning the stuff at the moment. And that.
How's that going?
Well, it's awful. I mean, I remember years ago... when we'd written Grumpy Old Women 2, I think, and it was going into the West End, and there was me in it, you and I had written it, and it was me, Susie Blake, and Wendy Peters.
Oh, yeah.
And Susie celebrated her 60th birthday when we were doing that show, and it went into the West End during the elections, and it was when we had that hung parliament for like weeks on end.
Oh,
do you remember the Gordon Brown thing?
Yes,
it was eventually resolved when David Cameron had his date with Nick Clegg in the Rose Garden.
Oh, yeah, well remembered.
But, yeah, we kept having to change the script because we had this thing about who the Prime Minister was, and for like weeks there was no result. But I remember Susie having her 60th birthday. But I remember she said to me, I've never had so much trouble learning lines since, I hit 60.
Right.
And I remember that she used to have to employ an actor friend of hers to go through the lines and make sure she knew what she was doing.
Did she?
And I have realised that I've got to that stage where I've had to... What I've done, I'm very clever, Judith. I've used technology. I've recorded it on my phone and then I just walk around with my headphones on and my own voice and I'm doing the show over and over again in my headphones.
No, but surely you'd have to keep stopping it, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you have to keep stopping it and then say that bit? What do you mean?
What's wrong with you?
I don't understand.
What's wrong with you? Idiot. Right. Okay, so the first half of the show, I've just put the first half of the show on my phone, right? I've recorded it on my phone.
I've got that bit. I'm not that stupid.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
And then I'm playing it through my headphones.
Well, yes, I know, but then surely...
Why would I have to keep stopping it?
Well, because otherwise all you have to do is... kind of say what you're saying. I mean, so...
No. I'm not saying it out loud as well. I'm just listening to it. So it will go subliminally into my head.
Right, okay. So it's like swatting for, you know, or exams. Almost like...
Yes.
Like, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad we got there in the...
Well, I can see up to a point that would be useful, but I am in awe of you all for doing it at all. I mean, I can't tell you... how few lines I've ever had to remember in my life. And actually, not so long ago, I had a really small part in the village play, right? I only had about four lines. And I was like as rabbit in the headlights. All I was listening to was you know, that trigger word before I had to get my
cue.
Line
they
out.
Call it a but cue.
It's cue. So I mean, if it didn't come, I'd still be there now. How do you do it? Because you must be doing... Well, obviously, how long is your show?
Well, at the moment, it's too long for me to learn.
So oh,
it might be shorter than usual. I don't know. I'll know so much more.
It is an astonishing thing that you do.
Over
it
the
is.
Next couple of... Well, it's astonishing what other people do. You know, what people do is astonishing, isn't it? How they can do it. Yeah, you know, I can't... Really, you know, when you see people driving big trucks and you think, how do you do that? And then there's sort of doctors, how on earth do you do that? How do you teach children without kicking them? How do you do that?
I know. Anyway, so good luck tomorrow night.
Thank you very much indeed. Now, on our sort of laughable script that isn't a script but just the bullet points, you've written Aldi as if you're some intrepid... Yes. Sherpa Tensing that, you know, has discovered something that nobody else has ever...
Talk about late to the party. Oh, my God, it's taken me so long. Bloody hell, it is cheap. And actually, you know, cheap, but actually fantastic stuff. Oh, my God, Jenny, they have got creamy Greek yogurt. Okay, that's already pretty good. With coconut.
I'm not a big coconut fan. Not huge.
I defy you. Well, I bet, never mind you. Jeff, I have barely had my nose out of it. I've been through two enormous tubs of that. And what else did I buy? I bought...
But it's the funny one, isn't it, Aldi? They've got things that aren't really supermarket things.
They've got the central aisle. The people who know about Aldi and Lidl have got the centre aisle. And is it as if they knew I was coming, Jenny? As if they knew. The middle aisle this week has had wild swimming gear.
They haven't put it under a title. Does it say wild swimming? Does it just not say outdoor swimming?
I think it might say outdoor swimming. Yeah. But they've got the, you know, the shoes that I probably made you wear when you came into the lake and made that terrible fuss about having an asthma attack.
No, because there weren't any. Nobody had any shoes that were small enough for me. Remember, I've got a very dainty foot.
Yes, all right.
And you and your mates with your size sevens. And I was going, has anyone got a size four?
No, bugger off, you're not in our crowd. So, they got those, but they're only $3.99. I bought two pairs of those. And they got, you know, the kind of, not full wetsuits, but sort of half ones, half, you know, half measures.
What, topless? And I like the idea of a topless wetsuit. I like it being, if it's a half wetsuit, I like the idea of it being full to the waist and then just topless.
Yeah, no, the sort of stretchy ones, and they've got all sorts of things. And oh, honestly, it is absolutely, I can see, you know, because actually, for years, people have said to me, oh, yes, got it from Aldi. It's always from Aldi. You know, the stolen cake. Oh, look, it's really good. It's only $2.99. I used to think, oh, bugger off. That's so boring. Yeah. But now I'm doing the same. Oh, it's terrible.
Absolute convert. Right? Yeah. Well, there's a treat. Next time I come and stay, we'll have a trip round Aldi.
Shall we?
Okay. Yes.
Excellent.
They're German, aren't they?
They're German. Oh, I like it. Do you know, I think I should have been German.
Do you think you've got a bit of German in you? Actually,
very
you
much
are
so.
Quite German because you've got a good shoulder. You've got a German shoulder. You would be very good in a, you know, one of those, that, you know, those dresses Shoes. And sort of, no.
A dirndl.
Yeah, but particularly a dirndl with a waistcoat. You know, waistcoat with a puffy blouse underneath. And the waistcoat would be quite open so you could see your proud bosom.
Yeah. Yes, I know what you mean. I think I do quite fancy a dirndl, actually. The trouble is they pinch you in at the waist and they've got an apron. No, the more I think about it, yes, I think I think I'm designed for them. But also I love a sausage.
We do like their cuisine, don't they? I don't know whether the knuckle comes into it for me, but any kind of sausage.
Yes,
we'll have mustard. We'll have an array of mustard.
Now.
Oh, even I, Judith. Yes,
I went on an exchange.
We're wasted in France and Italy.
Don't bother with that.
Yeah,
oh, no.
Somewhere where they have sausages.
Oh. Yes. And, yeah, do you know, I went on an exchange when I was about 14 to Ulm in Germany. And I didn't speak rubbish at German and everything. But I don't know how I met him, but I was much sort of older, really, than the pen pal kind of equivalent. She was about half my size and she looked really babyish. And I, at 14, you know, I was quite...
You were blooming.
Sort of,
I can see you.
Oh, I was.
I bet you blossomed at 14. All of a sudden you were bursting out all over.
I think I looked 18. Have a look at the pictures. But anyway, I met this bloke and I have no idea where I met him.
Oh, God,
and I kept...
This is going to go very dark.
Ages.
What was he, 37?
No, it's not too bad. He was quite, I think it was at least in his 20s, at the very least. And I think he drove a sort of sporty car.
He's a paedophile, Judith.
Well,
he's a paedophile. You're a 14-year-old schoolgirl.
And he had those sunglasses. Do you remember in the 70s? Or was it in the 80s? No, it was in the 70s. Of course it was. Those kind of pilot, I think they're back in fashion, those sort of pilot.
Judith, you were 14 reflective. In 1969.
Oh, God, look at your maths all of a sudden.
Well, when it comes to age difference between you and me.
Yeah, I know, you're on it, aren't you?
Okay, so describe these sunglasses. Are they the aviators?
Yes, I think they are, aren't they? Okay. And he might even have been wearing an aviator shirt, because I think they kind of went together, didn't they? But anyway, he was very, he was just very grown up and very sexy. But anyway, he invited me back to his place. And I don't know how I kind of got rid of whatever her name was. He got rid of
the 10-year-old. The 10-year-old pen pal.
Style. Absolutely, big time. And I went to his house. But, you know, I think, don't panic, because his parents were there. It was like the family house. But get this. Imagine they had a basement pool. This was the poshest house I had ever been to. Electric gates and, you know, all that stuff. Yeah, yeah. And I was in there. I was bloody in there. I really was. I was almost like... My opportunity to escape Soley Hull had kind of presented itself.
Gosh.
And anyway, I went back to the house, where
were
I was staying.
Were his parents in?
I think so, because I think there'd have been some hanky-panky, wouldn't they, if they weren't in. So okay. I think
so there was no hanky-panky?
No, but I think there was promise of hanky-hanky had I been allowed to meet up with him again. Went back and said, I met this nice person, I'm going to meet them tomorrow night. And they said, well, I'm sorry, you're not. We are custodians of your safety. And I was under house arrest.
I should hope so too, Judith. You're a 14-year-old virgin from Solly Hull.
They were probably right. But I was so cross. Terribly
exciting.
So fucking cross. Really cross I was.
I mean, can you imagine now sort of that happening, that scenario now, and how worrying it would be and how dodgy it would be?
I know. I mean, it probably would have gone wrong. It would have led to bad behaviour on probably both our parts.
But what did you do instead?
I'm still cross. I learnt how to crochet.
Well, that is brilliant. I'm really sorry, Judith, but that is the ultimate punchline to... So what happened? Were you sexually assaulted by a much older man? No, I wasn't. Nobody besmirched my virginity. I learned to crochet instead. And I'm very glad to hear that. Because I think that is a skill you have got for life. And do you know what, Judith? You have tried on many occasions to teach me how to crochet and it has never worked. And I am jealous of your crochet skills.
I'd like to say I did that on purpose, but I think I'm just a bad teacher.
We are now entering Culture Corner, where the two of us have finished The Pursuit of Love. We saw the third episode on Sunday night. And although I found it beautiful to look at, and I enjoyed it, I only enjoyed it up to a point, and I only felt really emotionally connected to it right at the very end.
Yes,
and
yes.
I don't want to do any spoilers here because people get very cross with us.
We better
Can you
not.
Imagine? We'll get more letters of complaint.
God.
But when Fanny comes home from the hospital and there is a reveal, and I was not expecting.
No, I wasn't either. And I think last time we spoke about it, and I hadn't watched the last 20 minutes, literally. And I think it sort of, it kind of, for me, it really did deliver in that last 20 minutes. And it hasn't, you know, it hasn't made me want to read the book, but it was, I think, you know, it suddenly felt a little bit significant and it was very moving. So yeah.
I also like the way Lily James seemed to physically unravel in that last episode.
She suddenly started
to look quite rough.
Yeah.
Whilst
Ooh,
her cousin Fanny
did.
Just got more beautiful as she got older.
And more self-composed. Yes, she did.
Yeah,
she
and
did.
It looked, you just knew that Fanny would smell nice. And I'm afraid Lily James, she started to look as if she might smell quite bad.
And do you know what? How I noticed that, although I didn't really think it through like you just said, is that did you notice that all her nail varnish was chipped in the last few scenes?
Yeah,
I
think they did it on purpose, and I think she played it beautifully. But, you know, she was with child, and I don't think that is giving a spoiler away, but she did look like somebody who's having a rough pregnancy.
Yeah, didn't she just? Yeah. And I loved that scene. They went to a sort of very, very posh restaurant, didn't they? And they went to the loo, and they were a bit pissed, I can't remember what but that lovely thing where friends that know each other really, really well, you know, sort of walk around with like their stockings off and sort of bits hanging out and stuff. And it was that intimacy was really lovely. And I'm so
But
pleased
I couldn't have cared less about the Frenchman. The affair with the Frenchman just left me completely
awful.
Cold.
Oh, anybody who buys you a stupid little lap dog in a box with a bow on, I mean, really.
You're watching Mayor of Easttown, which
I
haven't
have you seen it yet?
No,
Kate
because
Winslet.
Is it on Now TV? I've got
yes,
Now, but
is.
I haven't
it's
got
on
Sky.
Now TV. Okay, no, ditto. Okay. Same with us. No, I think that's easy to get. Two episodes in, and like all the reviews have said, really, she is extraordinarily ordinary in it. And they have done a brilliant job of making her look sort of drab. I mean, stunning Kate Winslet. And she's, she lives in an ordinary town and she's got this ordinary job and then extraordinary things start to happen. So it's shaping up very well. I would definitely recommend
that. Okay, well, I'm making a note, Judith. I'm putting it on an index card. So Daisy said, she texted us both and said, Your Lady Parts, which is a new sitcom.
I haven't seen it yet.
I
mean, it's really not aimed at me at all, is it? It's about this girl band
they're all Muslim girls, aren't they?
Yes, but they are, I mean, they're very sexy and very, it sort of almost makes me want to be in a girl band.
Okay,
actually,
we're in a band, Judith, you and I are in a band. What are you in the band?
Oh, what am I? I think
I'm
blonde.
Are you keyboards? Are you guitarist? Are you, no,
I'm
what
blonde.
Are you playing? Where are... You can't be Blondie. Don't be ridiculous. I'm Blondie. I'm Debbie Harry. Don't be mental, right? Stop that right there.
I think I got to be her. I don't
know.
No,
I bagsied her ages ago.
I have always been.
Okay. I'm being strict now. I will confiscate the lipstick.
I think I'll be on the drums.
I'll never put one up my bum. Okay, right. You're going to do the drum line.
I think I'll be the drums. I think, I could really take it out on the drum kit, actually, sometimes. I might,
furious.
I might buy one.
Do you know what? We should do a band, Judith. You and I should,
recruit
a couple more members and we should do some sort of post-menopausal furious
kind of... Breton tops?
All in Breton tops and matching Breton tops. We would be called the Breton Top Girls. And I would like to be lead singer, but I know my... I know that...
Oh, bloody hell. Good
yeah,
luck
I know.
With that.
Even I know that is not physically
we might have
kind
to
or
mime.
Possible.
You might have to mime.
Yeah, which is what I had to do when I was in choir when I was 12 and I was told because the school was being recorded and I was told to mime because I was spoiling it. And that's
spoiling
left me the complex.
For everyone.
I've had a complex about my singing ever since because it has ruined my career. So I will be on bass guitar probably. But looking really sexy.
Sexy, okay.
Yeah,
lots of back combing. I think there
lots
you
of back
might be
and one tit
okay.
hanging out. Just the good tit, the left hand side one. That's my marvellous one. I've had that out. Yeah. Did you watch? Oh God, it was the highlight of television last week. And it was the Eurovision Song Contest.
No, I
did you watch it?
Oh, no, God, I didn't,
you did.
Really.
It was honestly,
no,
I think it was the best thing I have watched on television all year.
It was
joyful and glorious and mad and gleeful and touching. And it was one of those sort of golden television moments. And Phoebe was round, because she'd had her press night for her play the night before, so she was absolutely exhausted. And it's done really well, actually. I have to say that Harm has done... It's had a lot of four-star reviews from big grown-up newspapers, so thank fuck for that.
Brilliant.
Because it was so nerve-wracking last week. So she was recovering at our house, and her boyfriend was there as well. I made a nice dinner. I made one of my successful dinners.
Lovely.
And we watched the Eurovision Song Contest together.
Oh, but that was jolly.
It was
actually
like Christmas Day, Judith.
Oh,
it was absolutely
nice. Without the pressure. Without the pressure.
Great. And I felt genuinely really happy, and I really laughed a lot, and it was just funny all the way through. And it was done in Rotterdam. They got some of the old groups back that had won in the past, and they put them on rooptops and made them play their old...
Even ours? Even some of ours?
I can't remember ours, but we draw a veil over any of our Eurovision entries. I can't remember his name. God bless him. But he did look like he'd been delivering the Heineken in a lorry. And, you know, and someone said, listen, he's not turned up, would you mind? He was obviously very popular amongst the other contestants, and he handled his nil point with absolute aplomb. I mean, he really did.
He did himself. Good.
Oh, absolute, you know, great favours. And it was won by Italy, who had a very sexy lead singer that even I felt my groin stir at.
Did you? I saw a clip of him in that awful sort of
emaciated,
funny...
tattooed, big nose.
No.
Yeah, just my type, Judith. I'm sorry.
Oh, Jenny,
but I like them.
Welcome
I like them looking druggy. I really do.
But I can see that.
I like them filthy. I like them filthy and druggy.
We'd have been fine. If you and I had been pulling together, we'd have been absolutely after different people.
You can have him.
Yeah, you're welcome for that.
When we get the band together, Judith, and all the male groupies.
Yeah, the groupies.
Storming the dressing room. So we'll be able to... So we'll send the road manager out, the tour manager out, and he'll know exactly who to pick. He'll be going, you're for Judith. Jenny will like you. Come on through, lads. Any films this week, Judith?
We watched a couple of films. I don't know how we got to it, but we watched something called Page 8 with Bill Nighy, which is a sort of one of those kind of very posh David Hare films about the Secret Service, which was almost like watching it in theatre, really. Do you know what I mean? The performances were quite
quiet,
theatrical.
And yes. I can't stand David Hare. I can't stand his work.
Can't you?
No, I think it's up his own arse.
I know what you mean.
I hope he's not listening, because that might upset him.
Well,
I think
the chances are pretty slim. Jenny. So watch that. And then what else did we watch? Oh, we watched Blinded by the Light that Patty recommended, which is a sort of feel-good film about, you know, a bit like Bend It Like Beckham, that sort of thing.
Okay, so about teenagehood.
Yeah, lovely boy, very sort of overlooked and very restricted by his parents, who was terribly good at sort of writing and poetry. But I think based on someone's actual memoirs, who loved Bruce Springsteen's lyrics.
Oh, yes, that's had a lot of... Yes, that's
it's lovely, actually.
That's famous, that film. It's written by somebody. Yes,
it's got all the... Yeah, it's quite recent.
Yes, it's...
Like
that's got a very good pedigree. It's not just Patty likes that. Loads of people like that. And so what about... Have you seen Nomadland?
No, but booked to see it on Thursday in the...
In the proper cinema?
In the cinema. Oh, yeah, well, because I can't work out how to get it on the telly. And actually, I think it's... I'm really looking forward to see it, actually.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
I will
be double jab next week and plus 2 weeks. And I think the cinema is something that I will then
will
feel very comfortable.
Yes,
and I will enjoy it. And if this weather continues to be like this, I think actually, you know, sneaking off for a matinee. Oh, such cinema weather. Yes, absolutely. So book-wise, I think we're both on the same page, Judith, which hasn't happened.
Look at you.
Ever.
Yes.
I've more or less caught up with you with, I mean, last week you were talking about reading Grace Dent's Hungry. Are you reading it or are you on the audio?
I'm on the Audible.
I'm on the Audible.
It's fab, beautiful. Fabulous. fabulous. Isn't it? It took really me is. Back so much to those sort of, well, so very much of, I suppose, the 70s and 80s, but also the kind of media world of the 80s and 90s.
Oh, isn't Ooh, it wonderful?
God.
I mean, cause, yeah, you're absolutely right about, I mean, she's 13 years younger than me, so she's, you know, younger than, she's younger than both of us.
Younger than me, yes.
Well, let's
yes.
just say she's younger than both of us, but there is this crossover section, yep. as you so rightly mentioned, mm. which is mm. about the media mm. world in the 90s.
Sort of Groucho's in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we were both around there and sort of viewing this. I mean, I was very much outside on the pavement looking in, and I think you were probably indoors at
I
a table.
Was
yeah.
yeah,
you were
yeah,
so
I was,
indoors
I was,
there.
I was. Yeah. But I love the fact that she, because she comes from, is it some...
It's Carlisle.
Even, yeah, it's not even Carlisle, is it? It's sort of outside of Carlisle, but kind of, you know, pretty drab sort of place.
Oh, you'll get letters, Judith. You'll get letters.
Oh, shit, I will, won't I?
Not allowed God. To say anything.
No, but I mean, it couldn't be more different, could it, from sort of the Groucho's Club. And she, you know, it was bloody tough. And I didn't have as tough a time getting into the media, but I did have a tough time, you know. I didn't know anybody posh. I hadn't been to any posh schools. I was sort of completely... And she basically had to fib to get in the end because nobody was giving her a chance.
What I really love about the book is the title of it, Hungry, doesn't just cover the food aspect of her career, but the hunger, the appetite for fame.
Yes, that and she's very open about that, isn't
her,
she?
That is quite selfish, yep. that makes you quite careless of your friends and your family. And you always regret that in, you know, as you grow up, there's a bit of you that goes, I ran away and I... Well, not ran away, but I wasn't...
Abandoned, probably.
I slightly abandoned yes, my yes, roots because yes, I yes. was so desperate to do this. And I really, really identify with that.
Oh,
and
me too.
And like you, you know, we are not... We do... Neither of us come from connected families in any no. way, shape or
no.
form.
No.
And, you know, you came from Solihull, I came from Lytham St Anne's. And it was, you know, all those... living in grotty bedsits and just sort of keeping your eye out for any opportunity and all that sort of thing. And yes, it was much easier because the opportunities were there. And I'm loving those stories of the largesse of the magazine world when it was so glamorous.
Oh, glamorous and just had money and the freebies yeah. were amazing, yeah. you know, endless booze, endless sort of swanning in and no, it's
over, isn't it, that? It's over. Do you think it's over
yes.
forever?
Oh, of course it is. Of course it is. No, I am. I'm glad you're enjoying it too.
This is Hunger by Grace Denton. We both absolutely are raving about that. I'm still gobsmacked by how good Luster is by Raven Lalani, but it is not an easy read. Okay, email time, Judith. What have we got?
Oh, well, I'm sure you saw it. There's a joyous photograph sent in by Anne, which obviously is her gang, Janet, Althea and Young. Sue and Anne wearing their Breton tops. But then Anne in double Breton, which is a Breton top,
yeah.
but then a Breton coat over the top, which yeah. is, you know, that's really going for the Breton.
Absolutely. They're
it?
So in our gang. We're very,
oh,
very
lovely.
It was lovely seeing that. They were having a sort of girls' week together in Sidmouth. I don't know where
scamps.
Sidmouth is.
The scamps.
Where's Sidmouth, Judith? Mm-hmm. Should I ever have gone to Sidmouth?
I think it's in
look
Devon,
up Sidmouth,
isn't it?
Now.
I think
Ooh,
it might
I
be near
to
Torquay,
Sidmouth.
But I'm not
well,
sure.
Well, there we go.
Yes.
And last week we handled a problem and we sort of said, you know, if anybody's got any problems, we're happy to help. Mm. And we were thinking we'd get some light-hearted problems about cargo trousers and gilets. And we did get a question from Sue, a problem from Sue. She's 60 and a half. And she says, how on earth do you stop endless snacking?
Oh, wish we knew. Well, you don't do this, but I've got it bad as well. And I do, you know, I've no idea. Unless we actually go out and get laid a lot, which kind
is that
of
your,
not
is that
happen.
Your response? I'm not,
well,
I'm not sure.
What, a connection.
What, break up her happy marriage? You're just saying to, if you want to stop eating biscuits, maybe you should go out, shag somebody, take your mind off food and maybe ruin your entire life. I'm not sure you're a very good agony
yes,
aunt.
Yes, maybe I'm not cut out for this, but no. I'm not suggesting. I think there's a connection because I've never. There's never been a period in my life, although they have been very, very, very brief, where I've had a lot of sex and I've done a lot of snacking. I think a lot of snacking does not come with a lot of sex. That's all I'm saying. Okay, I don't know what we do with that.
Okay, right. Well, I suggest masturbation, really. I mean, if that's the only way you're going to...
You could go that way, couldn't you?
You could go that way, yeah. At least you're doing something else with your hands, aren't you? You haven't. If you're masturbating, you haven't got your hand in the biscuit tin. Well, I mean, the other thing is knitting. I mean, if you can't trust your hands to go to the biscuit tin all the time, take up a little, you know, something
that... I think that's a jolly good suggestion. Yeah. You see, I think we cut out for this. And then finally, we got a long email, which is just one of the most moving things I've ever read. And it's from Shelley, 43 and a half. So she's a younger gang member. Now, what are we going to do?
She's been through one of the biggest traumas that any woman can go through. Basically, she lost her mother about 7 years ago. And if we're going to pray-see this, we'll pray-see it in the way that Shelley has done for us within her very long email, which is very detailed. And as you say, Judith, incredibly moving. Basically, mum died. Dad started fucking someone else within a month. Should I forgive him? In a nutshell.
That's about and the size of it, isn't it?
Shelley lives actually in Russia, where she's quite near a sort of a graveyard that she thinks I'd enjoy in the Soviet Union. So that's, you know, if I ever get across there, I'm, you know, bagsy that on my list.
Yeah, but... no, she's also said she'd show us round, didn't she? She said, if ever we want a free guided tour of St. Petersburg, just
people Italy. Should be very, very careful of making these offers, because you and I are sort of, we take note, don't we? But seriously, with this problem... It is sort of beyond us because this one cuts incredibly deep. Shelley loved her mother,
She loved her mum. And her mum sounds a bit like kind of the mums that we are. I think
she's much nicer than us. Her mum was much nicer than us. Much nicer than me anyway. I mean, you might be a bit similar, Judith, but not me.
So, yes, we love your mum as well. Your mum was quite something. So, yeah. Huge loss, huge loss.
But as soon as her mother died, her father basically got off with the woman that ran the local cafe and was, as she says, she was so big-balled about the whole thing. Couldn't see what the fuss was about and she found it hard to tolerate being in the same room as him. All he wanted to do was talk about his new girlfriend.
And with great speed
months,
as well. Within
within 12 months,
said.
Childhood home had been sold, all evidence of my mum had been erased and my relationship with my dad was pretty much done. Should she forgive her father, Judith? What, I mean, this is a kind of big serious one, isn't it?
Yeah,
what
go
do
on,
you
go
think? Okay, okay, I'll go first. This is what I wrote back to her and I said, I think that the fact she lives in Russia is a good thing because she can have some contact with her father, but it can be at arm's distance. I wouldn't go closer than an email. I think it's Shelley's wife thinks that she should forgive her father before he dies because you don't want unfinished business and you don't want to have regrets later in life. However, I think that she is absolutely justified in feeling very, very angry with her father. But she also knows herself very well. And she said, is it easier to be angry with my father than sad about my mother? So is she using this anger emotion rather than giving to, you know, the upset about her mother, which is the real emotion? Yeah. I think you're allowed to have both. And personally, I think that he sounds very, very selfish and... I would really keep it arm's length. I wouldn't go closer than an email, as I said.
Yes, I think that's very, very good advice. And I think that's spot on, really. But I do think it might be a good idea. If I was her, I think I would want to almost have a one-way conversation with my dad. I mean, this is where it gets tricky, isn't it? So I think what I might do is I might write a long email to him saying how it's hurt you. I don't know, which you might have done this already, of course. And either send it or not, or send it and be prepared for maybe not liking the reply, but knowing that she'd said it. I think she has to communicate how hurt she's been and why she has been so hurt to him big time to get that off her chest somehow. But also I think maybe it's worth thinking, well, okay, maybe your mum, what would your mum want to happen? And I think if I was your mum right now, I would want you to let it go. I would want you to somehow...
See, this is why you're a nicer person than I am, Judith. If I was...
Oh, I don't know what I am.
You know, if
I
were the mother, I'd want... I'd want everything to end in flames for the
Well, you might want that initially, but now, by now, it you know, it's not a little flight of fancy that's going to sort of go away. He's obviously completely embedded with this woman, and she's, you know, it's done. And now I think if I was your mum, I would want you to say, right, it's hurt, but actually let it go. Just let it go now and allow it to fade. I mean, I remember my dad saying to me when he was dying, oh, I loved my dad, you know, when I go, you know, it'll fade, let it fade. And really, you know, it'll take a very long time and she will never go away. She'll always be with you and part of you. But in a way, I'm sure she'd want you now to say what you have to say, either in a letter or an email that you send or you don't send. I don't know. Get it off your chest and, let it go.
I think the best thing as well, in honour of her mother, who she obviously adored, is to live the best life you possibly can have and have a very, very happy life. That is your revenge, really, on your father, to reclaim your own life. And as you say, let it go so that it doesn't poison the life that you have. That's that. Right. That is that.
Yeah.
But I think that one emotionally is sort of slightly out. We're slightly out of our depth on it, but we hope we've been helpful in some way, shape or form. Yeah. And we send all our love to you, Shelley, in Russia. Don't be surprised if one day your doorbell rings and you open the door. Hi! To the rest of you, have a great week. The sunshine
send us some more problems.
Coming.
Send us some problems.
Send us some pictures in Breton tops. You can send us audition tapes for the band. That would be great. Yes. We'd like some original music. We want some lyrics. We'd like to write some songs. We are thinking Eurovision 2022. Okay. We will love you and leave you now. Keeping our fingers crossed for sunshine for everybody all over the country for the bank holiday weekend.
Oh,
and lots of love. I'm going up north to see June next week, and we shall be reporting back as ever this time next week.
Fabulous. Lovely to talk to you, Jenny.
Nice talking to you.
Lots of love to
Daisy.
Bye. Bye, Daisy. Thank you.